It's a preach-in today. This is Earth Day Sunday, and across the United Church of Christ and across denominations, there are ministers preaching on global climate change and keeping fossil fuels in the ground, seeking to be prophetic voices for global change. So we start at the end with Revelation. Some people hear the book of Revelation, they hear the name, and they think scary thoughts. Left Behind movies. Left Behind books. Not as bad, but awful theology. Hopefully, though, it's not the case this morning when you hear Revelation. In this week's Bible reading, it's a story that's filled with hope. There's a new heaven and a new earth. There's no scary sea, and the sea was a scary thing to the people of Bible times. The sea was the unknown. The sea was danger. God is with us. There's tears that are wiped away. There's no more death. No more mourning. No more crying. No more pain. Everything is new. There's words that are trustworthy and true. And God was and is and will be the beginning and the end. And then there's that refreshing, life-giving water. Earth as it was intended. Earth without the things that we have added. Those things? Well, we've added war. Poverty, inequality, territorialism, greed, racism, hate, destruction. And all of the things that we've added like that are usually in the name of progress or something like it. And listen to this. In only 7 generations, humans have burned about half of the known carbon reserves that nature created over 150 million years. And in burning all of that fuel from the ground, we've melted 40% of the summer sea ice. Arctic. We've made the oceans 30% more acidic. We've contributed to record-setting precipitation and record-setting drought in different parts of the world. We set the stage for Miami and Boston to be underwater before our grandchildren die. We've made 2015 the warmest year on record, after 2014 was the warmest year on record, and we don't know what's going to happen with 2016, but so far it's looking like it will be the warmest year on record. We've assured that the pace of global warming is 10 times faster than at any time in the last 65 billion years. And we've increased the rate of extinction of species by a thousandfold. That's in the last 7 generations. The pollution that we have and the pollution that we're continuing to make people sick, really sick, unable to breathe. Climate change adversely affects those who are poor in an even much larger way. Drought and environmental degradation make it more and more difficult to grow food enough to live on for people who really just need to grow food enough to live on. That's a lot of destruction, folks. A lot of destruction. But I can pat myself on the back. Here we go. I drive a Toyota Camry Hybrid. Yes, I say with my smug face. It gets about 40 miles to the gallon. That's better than pretty much any sedan that anyone else drives, right? It's pretty good. Most. It's not burning diesel, you know, anything Volkswagen-y. 40 miles per gallon is pretty good, but somehow, maybe I believe that driving my hybrid is good for the environment. It may be better for the environment than most cars and trucks, but it's not good for the environment. It still burns fossil fuels, it poisons the air, and the production of a battery is not an environmentally friendly process. When you look at the scores, the green scores, the car is still greener overall than a gas-only vehicle, but it's not good for the environment. Reducing our use of fossil fuels, that's good. ending their use. There's a better goal. So what's good for the environment? Not polluting it. I want to make a bold prediction. Actually, I want to share a bold prediction, because this was made by Reverend Dr. Jim Antal, who's the minister and president of the Massachusetts Conference of the United Church of Christ. Here's what he says. Within our lifetime, mining coal, drilling for oil, mountaintop removal, and fracking will all be as morally repugnant and intolerable to us as it would be to own slaves today. Thanks to the abolition movement, as well as the civil rights movement, the anti-apartheid movement, and the LGBT movement, we know that society itself can be redirected. Society can change. Science makes it clear that the need for this redirection is immediate. And history suggests that this can and will happen, and faith communities are willing to be part of the movement. Faith communities have been part of these other movements that changed society and are changing society. But how can this faith community be a part of it? Well, as individuals, we can get outside more and drive less. We can turn off the lights more and invest in more energy efficient energy sources. We could do things like reducing our use of, not use of garden tools and stuff, but we could start a sharing cooperative for tools and garden equipment. So, you know, not everyone's using that at the same time. We could remember that thing, it came up in the 70s with the first Earth Day, but we have reduce, reuse, and recycle. We can do that daily, and we can focus on the reduce bit, because we're not great at that. We're getting better at reusing and recycling, but the reducing, we're like, oh, we're recycling, so let's just use more. We'll focus on the reduce bit. We can give up the disposable plastic water bottle habit, and then eliminate other disposable products. We don't need to have all of these disposable products. Here's one. We can vote for candidates that will help our country lessen and in time end the use of fossil fuels. We could divest from fossil fuel companies. The United Church of Christ has done that, has directed pension boards and others to follow suit to invest in globally sustainable products, but divest from fossil fuel companies. We can keep fossil fuels in the ground. We take so much out of the ground and we don't need to. There are other sources of energy that don't poison the environment. All of us could participate in nonviolent protests, civil disobedience, direct actions. As it applies to subjects that we are interested in, causes that we're interested in, right here, for keeping fossil fuels in the ground. As a congregation, what can we do? I mean, those are individual and the congregation do that, but as a congregation, why don't we strive for a 50% carbon emission reduction in the next 15 years? And then maybe in the next 25 years or 35 years, we could be completely carbon neutral so that the lights that we have on, the fans, the air conditioners, all the energy that we use that are created from renewable sources, or we're creating more energy from other renewable sources so that any fossil fuels that we're burning, we're reducing and making our carbon footprint negative. These words from a woman named Marla Montessori. She's the founder of the educational method and the schools that bear her name. She says that imagination does not become great until human beings, given the courage and the strength, use it to create, not destroy. We're smart enough to destroy. We know how to destroy things. We know how to burn stuff up and use it for energy, forgetting how much it poisons our our atmosphere, forgetting how much it destroys. Imagination does not become great until human beings, given the courage and the strength, use it to create. So what can we do as a congregation and as individuals? We can use our imagination, our courage, our strength. We can be a people of creation instead of destruction. Remember God's vision for this new heaven and this new earth. No scary sea. God with us. Tears wiped away. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain. All things new, trustworthy, and true words. God was, and God is, and will be the beginning and the end. And refreshing, free, life-giving water. And we get to share the hope and the restoration with everyone. No more destruction. No more separation or loneliness and exile. Together we can make that happen. Just imagine. Amen.